Call.com.
On I-295 going south at Bay Meadows Road, lots of backup there due to a crash involving at least three cars. We can't see on the traffic cam. It's causing a lot of backup, so if you're headed that way, plan on some slowdown. If you're on 295 south from Butler Boulevard to Bay Meadows, it's backed up there as well. And I-10 heading into town, you begin to slow down starting at around Cassett. Lots of rain today with thunderstorms, high of 88. More rain this evening, 71 the low right now at 72 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Former Congresswoman Corrine Brown's lawyer is encouraged by the recent Supreme Court ruling, siding with a Christian wedding cake baker. In a letter to the Court of Appeals, her lawyer wrote, "The ruling applies to the Brown corruption case because of the way it addressed freedom of religion." Democratic candidate for Florida governor Gwen Graham's campaign is running TV ads for the first time this election, accusing Republicans of having all the wrong priorities. And lawyers for NFL quarterback at the center of the national anthem controversy, Colin Kaepernick, may serve subpoenas against President Trump and Vice President Pence. They want to find out what was said to NFL owners about Kaepernick, who hasn't been able to find a job in football in 2 years.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Welcome back to the program. We're filling in for Ed Dean today. We've been all over the map today.
That's what happens when you bring the two of us in here.
Like, oh, this, my God. Ed is Ed's never going to let – I mean, we've done World War One, the Gilded Age, War of 1812. Did I miss one? I feel like Civil War,
sure.
Someone else who's a big history buff, too, but that's not why he's on, believe it or not. We want to talk about tariffs. Of course, that's getting a lot of attention this week as President Trump is going back and forth right now with the Prime Minister of Canada and France. Let's bring on our friend Lake Ray, who is the head of the First Coast Manufacturers Association, someone well-versed on these topics. Lake, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Alexander. Thanks for the opportunity to be with you today. Things are exciting in the world of tariffs, manufacturing, job opportunities, workforce that you were talking about earlier, where it's all coming from, who's doing what. Great time to be on with you.
So President Trump and Kevin and I talked about this earlier. He's kind of doing exactly what he said he was going to do when it comes to tariffs sort of in this space. I know it's not anywhere near the scale, I think, that he might have wanted or some might have expected. But as we look at the prospect of tariffs and the disagreement, very open disagreement between the president and Justin Trudeau, what does that do? And what ripple effect does that have on local manufacturers and the economy as a whole?
Well, let me see if I can explain it in a couple of easier bites. You know, when you go on an airplane, your flight cost doesn't vary a lot when you talk in terms of the fuel. The fuel eventually it goes up as the cost of fuel goes up, and it eventually goes down as the cost of fuel goes down. Same thing applies to the raw materials that are being looked at for tariffs here. With steel, if it's aluminum, different products, things of that nature. Companies look and they buy long-term contracts. Some of these contracts are 3, 6, 9, or even 12 months out when they buy contracts on the particular materials. When you start talking in terms of putting a tariff on, two or three different things happen. One is people that want to buy short-term contracts step in. It drives the cost up because they're trying to get imported raw materials for less. And if you're looking at the long term, it will drive that up on the long term contract as well. Now the reverse happens as well. But when you look at these contracts and look at what happens, that's what's causing the concern overall. For example, if you're making various steel products that they're coming in from China, and you're used to getting it at $1 per pound, you might be faced with $1.25 per pound based on a tariff if you're importing that material. That's kind of where the cost difference is, the raw materials that are being made here and why it might drive some of the cost up.
Interesting.
So by contrast, you'll see it go the opposite direction. So it's about It's about the raw materials that are coming in that could impact us.
Lake, it's Kevin Derby. You know, back when you were in the Florida House, I used to say you were the go-to guy in the Florida House when it came to ports issues. Do you see any impact here that could impact Jaxport or anything like that?
Kevin, it's nice to talk to you again as well.
Thank you.
And you've always had a lot of great insight on a number of different things. Certainly, you can see some impact. I think the real question here is, what is the domestic output that we have in terms of raw materials?
Right.
Some things that I have seen indicate that the domestic output is fairly robust right now. So if we increase some of that in a number of these contracts, we have to realize may be coming from companies that are seeking a cheaper material.
Sure.
And even an inferior material. And so you could see some impact, but the raw materials like that are not, there's not that much in the way of raw materials are coming into Jaxport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're down in Tampa, Tampa tends to bring a lot more of the bulk raw materials. So it could impact what they bring into Tampa more. So the state as a whole might be impacted. I don't think you would see a lot of that here because in Jacksonville, it's a lot more on the container side, not a lot on the bulk materials.
Lake, I'd love to get your thoughts, too, on the national perspective here. I mean, this is all the back and forth between Trudeau and Trump seems to be solely around this trade issue. I mean, they brought up the War of 1812 in this discussion, too. It's been interesting to watch from a political perspective. These two go at it. Kevin very aptly pointed out that both of this argument and back and forth being public helps both Trump and Trudeau in their own respective bases at home. But have we ever seen anything like this with two national leaders going back and forth so publicly in terms of trade? And what are the ramifications in your manufacturing space specifically?
Well, let's kind of dissect that a little bit. I think if you go back in the 1930s, what you saw is you saw a lot of trade wars. It was because this would be a bit of a surprise, I think, that Japan was sending a lot of products prior, before we got into the war with them. And those materials that were coming, and there's a lot of concern over what was happening. So you saw tariffs that began to go in, which in part contribute to the depth of the depression, and I use that term somewhat carefully, but then it can also be said that it led to part of the causes for World War II. So you've seen this, and it depends on how it elevates. The long term, what drives those issues, however, is what the state and healthy economy is, as it relates to what happens here with some of those raw materials and products being brought in, is something that's going to be difficult to measure.
Mm-hmm.
Let me, if I may, share one thing. And I was with the General Consul of Mexico and General Consul of Canada yesterday, and we were getting into some discussions. Whenever you have a trade agreement, while I think most of us would probably look and think that NAFTA has not been good, there has no doubt been a sector of the economy in the United States that benefited. Now, I'm not sure which one that was, but somebody gets a benefit when it looks like we as Americans as a whole get a negative. So the question is, who would have negotiated something that puts most of us at risk? And you'll find somewhere tucked in there a special interest, whether that's a service-oriented, whether it is a product, whether it's agricultural, any of those particular sectors like that. So somebody's benefiting in those agreements.
No, you're absolutely right, Lake. And listening to you, I mean, you're absolutely right about the Smoot-Hawley tariff and the impact and the depression, the tariff, the trade war, heating up leading tensions with Imperial Japan. No, you're absolutely right there. And NAFTA itself, look, a 6,000-page document. I remember, I think, the only senator out of the 100 who read it was Hank Brown from Colorado. It was absolutely a lot in there, to be sure. If I can ask you to look into the crystal ball for a moment, where do you think manufacturing and trade go in Florida? I mean, we were talking, of course, about the economy relying heavily on new home construction, tourism, agriculture. What do you see as kind of the role for manufacturing and the ports here in Florida in the future?
Well, I think with the work that we've done over the course of the last 8 to 10 years with our governor, I think that we have accomplished what we needed. Back when I entered the legislature in 2008, we had a situation, of course, where the economy was totally turned upside down, and
sure.
It's because we were primarily a tourist and a development state. But we've now broadened those economic drivers to include manufacturing. Now, and I need to make sure that state that agriculture has always been strong in the state, although its impact across the state and into our economy as a whole is diminished because of the population base and who needs the jobs and where the economy is being moved from. But I think if you were to look, I think we've broadened those economic drivers. If you look at where we're going in terms of manufacturing, it's a very exciting but a very challenging time. Jobs are coming back to the United States. Companies are coming back to the United States. Even foreign companies that never were here are coming here. And people are kind of going, well, what is this and why? It's because we make the best products in the world. We stand behind them. Our workforce, despite what some people might like to think, is the most productive workforce in the world, bar none. We are head and shoulders above every other workforce in every country in the world. So the cost of our products are lower by comparison when you take that, when you take the labor component. But when you take technology and you lay it on top of it, the cost of a product today may only be 20% labor and 80% materials and energy. We have the cheapest energy in the world also. So when you combine those two, the cost of our labor is so much smaller, it makes us very competitive. So in the future, you will see, I think, a lot more companies that will be coming to the United States because the world wants our products, we stand behind them, they're durable, and the cost differential for labor is so much smaller.
Interesting. Well said. Very well said. So I guess, you know, if, heaven forbid, we enter another recession, do you think Florida's better prepared for it because of the expansion of manufacturing, because of the expansion of the ports in the last 10 years or so?
Absolutely. The thing that I was talking about and I've used before is that strong economies are basically three components. You make it, you mine it, or you grow it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really simple. You make it, mine it, or grow it. And what we saw out of Washington over the course of the last many decades, you began to see an erosion of focus on making things, mining things, or growing things. But over the course, and particularly in the state of Florida, we were taking a look in 2008. When I stepped in the legislature, the focus was, well, we got to get these regulations away so we can get people developing and building things. Well, that's all that was trying to fix something that was broken at the time. Broadening those drivers is something we were successful at.
We're joined by, Lake, we got to go to a break, but Lake Ray, you can learn more about him at electlakeray.com. He is the president of the First Coast Manufacturers Association. Lake, always great talking to you. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us this morning.
Thanks. I enjoyed being with you.
Thank you so much. The number here, 904-222-8255. If you'd like to be a part of the program, coming up, we're going to delve into the sale of JEA, the committee for that, looking into that prospective sale, quietly winded down yesterday. We're going to delve into that issue and much, much more coming up right after this.
On I-295 going south at Bay Meadows Road, there's an accident. Several cars are involved, and the line going to the scene of the accident starts at Butler Boulevard. Traffic this morning being brought to us by Schneider Heating and Air Conditioning.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
At Underwoods, we know what it takes to be one of the South's most trusted jewelers. Our reputation was made by carrying the finest quality. I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and we're proud to bring Forevermark diamonds to North Florida. Only 1% of the world's diamonds are eligible to become Forevermark. They're the world's most carefully selected diamonds that you can be proud to give and wear forever. The Forevermark icon invisibly inscribed on each diamond is proof of the Forevermark promise that each diamond is beautiful, rare, and responsibly sourced. Their exceptional beauty is unleashed by the world's finest craftsmen using skill and artistry passed down by generations. Forevermark diamonds benefit the communities from which they're sourced and are individually cared for from the mine to her finger. Underwoods is Jacksonville's authorized Forevermark jeweler, so make the right decision and come by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Ashley, I just love your new furniture. This room looks amazing.
Thanks so much. Emily suggested I look at the furniture gallery in Orange Park, and wow, I am so glad I did. Not only do they carry the brands I love, but their prices are so much better than what I was seeing at all the big box stores.
Find your inspiration at the Furniture Gallery, 1956 Kingsley Avenue in Orange Park. That's the Furniture Gallery, 1956 Kingsley Avenue, Orange Park. Decorating assistance available.
The 2018 election season is underway. WBOB is your 2018 election authority. Every candidate.
And coming up next, Bob White, chairman of the Republican Liberty Caucus, who is also running for governor.
Every issue.
That's why today I'm announcing that this year will be my last one as a member of the House.
Every day. WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Very strong chance of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high of 88. More rain tonight. Overnight, the low 71. Right now, it's 72 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democratic candidate for Florida Governor Gwen Graham's campaign is running TV ads for the first time this election, accusing Republicans of having all the wrong priorities. Lawyers for the NFL quarterback at the center of the national anthem controversy, Colin Kaepernick, may serve subpoenas against President Trump and Vice President Pence. They want to find out what was said to NFL owners about Kaepernick, who hasn't been able to find a job in football in 2 years. And former Congresswoman Corrine Brown's lawyer is encouraged by the recent Supreme Court ruling, siding with a Christian wedding cake baker. In a letter to the Court of Appeals, her attorney wrote the ruling applies to the Brown corruption case because of the way it addressed freedom of religion.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Ed will be back on Monday. Don't worry. No, I said the last. Were you here the last time I filled in?
I said
this is the last time. I think maybe Roger here with me. I was like, there's no way he'll have me back now, because I used to make fun of that old intro.
Really?
They said he was the
showstopper, the main event.
It was right at 6 o'clock, and I don't know if this was the last time. Sometime last year, it goes the showstopper, and then it went live. I think this was before you were here, Roger.
Right,
and the mic wasn't working. I was like, well, that's it. The show stopped. All done. Have a great morning, everybody. So anyway, I always appreciate Ed giving us the opportunity
Absolutely.
To fill in. Kevin Derby, Alexander Pantanakis sitting in for Ed today. The number here, 904-222-8255, 904-222-TALK. Let's go to George on line one. George, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. I volunteered with my relatives up in South Carolina who won election after election by telling people how their life would improve economically and safety-wise. And I did the same thing with Trump, but I targeted Democrats. Trump had an extremely good system of getting out the vote with Republicans. However, we needed a little more direct one-on-one interaction with Democrats to convert them to conservative ideas. And I would suggest that we do things like saying to counter Bill Nelson, who says we're going to destroy Social Security, privatize it, saying we're going to save Social Security and add 401ks to it. That's number one. Number two, when you talk about the ports, say that we want to export more Don't just say ports, because people say, oh, my God, my jobs are going to China. And Lake Ray did a good job of doing that. Take examples from him and do the same thing. For example, in South America, Guyana exports about $1 billion worth of gold, shrimp, and other things. What are we selling to them? Go out and find those facts and say, we can certainly export more finished goods, which you make more money from, and you create more jobs to other countries.
Well, it is an interesting discussion, and Kevin talked about this a little bit too, is finding that, you called it the fourth leg of the stool, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about supporting Florida's economy. And maybe that could be it. Maybe our ports, and I agree with you, George, from a messaging standpoint. I don't know how many people hear ports and immediately think their job is being shipped overseas, but I do think it's important to describe what that means to folks. Really digging down deep and giving them some hard facts and numbers about how many jobs this could mean, you know, what it'll do to the local economy and all that, because it's a good story to tell.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, and we should think carefully and test it. Test it on a few Democrats and see what the reactions are and say, what do you really want? Because we need to convert them. We need more people in Congress and even the legislature who are real conservative Republicans. Because we've got this massive debt looming over us, and we have people are doing silly things even on the Supreme Court. So more Republican-oriented voters are extremely important.
Well, George, I agree with you. Thank you for the call, 904-222-8255. So, Kevin, the port piece is an interesting one as we look toward Florida's future.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, how do you get Florida families staying here? Look, ports jobs are often logistics jobs. We see that in Jacksonville, often very high-paying jobs, often good jobs. Yeah, you know, how do you – once you have a stable economy, job growth, good jobs, it helps families, and you'll get people to stay here. It becomes less of a transient state. That's, I think, Florida's big problem. Yes, we do bring in a lot of people, but we also lose a lot of people. We saw that 10 years ago during the Great Recession. This state was devastated with the population loss.
904-222-8255, 904-222-TALK, the number here. Another story we're following this morning, the Jacksonville City Council Committee set up by the council president to look in the potential sale of JEA, quietly concluded its work yesterday, simmered to a close as opposed to a bang, and they will be releasing their full report sometime within the next few months. The mayor's already come out and said he's not in favor of selling JEA, despite what pundits and other folks say. To me, political folks might try and make this an issue as we look to the spring elections in 2019 here in Duval County and Jacksonville, but from a city's perspective, I don't see this is sort of a non-starter.
Yeah, it really seems to have faded. There's a little bit of buzz, but then quickly died. And that's kind of where it is right now. I don't think it's going to, will voters remember it come May of 2019? I don't think they will.
Now, it's not a very well-kept secret. There's been some stories written about it that the current council president, Ana Lopez Brochet, is considering a run for mayor, challenging incumbent Lenny Curry, who's already filed for re-election and has put up several very impressive fundraising reports.
Sure.
He would be very tough to beat, I'd imagine. What is your take on a potential Brochet run for mayor?
I think Curry, even with Jacksonville's strange runoff system, I think...
Strange?
Very strange.
That's not strange.
Oh, it is strange.
It's Jacksonville.
It is Jacksonville, and it's the town I grew up in. So, I think Curry will... I think Curry's in a very strong position to win a second term.
Okay.
Simple as that.
I would agree
Brochet
with you, unless
be, tough
unless
to
something
momentum.
Shifted dramatically. It's going to be...
Yeah,
especially now, the council presidency there'll be a new council president coming in July 1, Aaron Bowman. And I imagine him to be very different in terms of his tenure.
I would think so.
Certainly gets along better, I think, with Mayor Curry. At least that's the perception. So it's going to be interesting to see if she does run, how she gains traction.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Look, Curry was the chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. His name's been bantied about as a possible statewide candidate. I'll be curious to see where Curry goes after the second term. I really am.
Okay, on our roads, 295 north at Bay Meadows, there has been an accident. Several cars are involved. 295 south at San Jose Boulevard, there's another accident. And if you're at 295 south on the west side of town at Pritchard, look out for broken down car. Traffic being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus says, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. God's ways are so different from the world's ways. The world's response is to seek and chase after those things that are needed, to allow attaining those things to become the focus of life. God's way is to seek after him and to place a focus on him and his kingdom rather than the things of this world. As we choose to keep our focus on God and on what concerns him, we then open wide the door for God to generously provide all that we need for life. He is our good Father who desires to abundantly provide for you.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com.
I'm Lorraine Hendricks, your candidate for Duval County Court Judge Group 8. June is here, and it's getting hot outside. That doesn't stop our campaign. We're out daily, knocking on doors and meeting great people and educating them about my campaign. If I haven't been by your door yet, please let me know by emailing me or visit our website, hendricksforjudge.com. That's hendricksforjudge.com.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Lorraine Hendricks, nonpartisan candidate for Duval County Judge Group 8.
Leave the summertime cooking to the original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, just west of 295. Dine in, drive through, or use Uber Eats. The original Kronos Gyros, shrimp, fish, oysters, wings, and more. The original Tunis can cater any occasion. 317-9300. And talk with Z, the owner and founder. Ask him how your church or civic group can use the original Tunis Restaurant for your next fundraiser. The original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, open 7 days a week. Come meet Z, the founder.
At Midas, you'll find all the expertise you need to take care of your car. From brakes and tires to oil to everything, you can count on your locally owned and operated Midas to tell you what needs fixing now and what can wait. Because when your car isn't working right, we can help make your life a little easier. Come on by and see us. Trust the Midas touch. Visit Midas of Jacksonville today and receive $25 off per axle on your next brake service. This package includes lifetime guaranteed brake pads or shoes installed. See store for details. Offer applies to most vehicles. Discount off regular retail price.
Rainy afternoons on tap for us today with thunderstorms and a high of 88. More rain tonight, overnight below 71. Right now it's 72 here at WBOB.
904-222-8255. We will get to those of you that are on hold coming up in a little bit. Of course, we reported earlier and tributes pouring into Anthony Bourdain of CNN's Parts Unknown, dead of an apparent suicide. Very sad news. That and Kate Spade earlier this week, it's tough to see.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. You know, suicide prevention is always extremely important.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump on Twitter this morning offering a preview of the G7 summit. He says it will mostly center on the long-time unfair trade practiced against the U.S. Mr. Trump leaves for the summit in Canada this morning, and after the summit, the president will travel to Singapore for a meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The AP reporting another presidential pardon may be on the way, with President Trump reportedly saying that he may grant a pardon to deceased boxing great Muhammad Ali. American celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain has been found dead in his hotel room in France while he was on assignment for CNN. The network confirms his death, reporting it was a suicide. Anthony Bourdain was 61. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures down 71 points. More details at srnnews.com.
On I-295 South Bay Meadows Road, an accident with at least three cars involved. Backup begins at around Butler Boulevard South as you head toward the scene of that accident. On 295 South on the ramp to Pritchard, there's a broken down car. And at 295 South at San Jose Boulevard, an accident on the side of the road is causing some delay there this morning. Rain with thunderstorms this afternoon and a high of 81. More rain tonight with a low of 71. It's 72 now here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Lawyers for the NFL quarterback at the center of the national anthem controversy, Colin Kaepernick, may serve subpoenas to President Trump and Vice President Pence. They want to find out what was said to NFL owners about Kaepernick, who hasn't been able to find a job in football in 2 years. Former Congresswoman Corrine Brown's lawyer is encouraged by the recent Supreme Court ruling, siding with a Christian wedding cake baker. In a letter to the Court of Appeals, her attorney wrote the ruling applies to the Brown corruption case because of the way it addressed freedom of religion. And Democratic candidate for governor Gwen Graham's campaign is running TV ads for the first time this election, accusing the Republicans of having all the wrong priorities.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Welcome back to the program. Alexander Pantanakis, Kevin Derby, and Roger Henderson filling in for Ed today. 904-222-8255, the number here. Let's go to Hank, who's calling in. Hank, welcome to the program. You're calling about manufacturing.
Yes, sir. I've been a manufacturer in Northeast Florida since 1980. I'm still actively manufacturing. I have two manufacturing companies. And so I know a little bit about manufacturing.
I would say so.
I want to make just one brief comment about the port issue. I mean, anybody that goes over the Dane's Point Bridge looks down and they see what's coming into the Jacksonville ports, and it's primarily cars and it's shipping containers from China. So when you use the word ports, I agree completely. The perception is it's an import machine designed to replace American jobs, and that's really what's going on, and that has to be changed. I contacted my local representatives and attempted to get Governor Scott in his last year to try to put forward an exemption from property tax for manufacturing companies. Manufacturing companies that have a lot of capital equipment today face a real disincentive. I can tell you in New York State, of all places, New York does not tax with tangible property tax manufacturing equipment. How would we ever get Intel, for example, to come to Florida and build a $1 billion chip fab when they're going to have to pay 2% of the cost of that factory in the form of property taxes every year? Every year. Take a $1 billion plan, and 2% is $20 million in property tax a year. So manufacturing companies, until Florida changes, in my view, its attitude toward taxing, you know, tangible property with a property tax, we're going to be at a perpetual disincentive in terms of manufacturing.
Well,
so that's one initiative that I'd like to see, you know, manufacturing groups like Mr., you know, like Lake Ray and others get on board, and let's try to do that. I heard there was a constitutional amendment being proposed, but that's all I know.
Right. No, there's no amendment that I know of, at least this ballot.
Not this time. Will say there wasn't a push from Governor Scott to, you know, exempt manufacturers from the manufacturing sales tax exemption. And frankly, although the governor had support for it, frankly, it wasn't going through the legislature. I mean, there were so many other groups fighting for tax mm-hmm. cuts, you know, the retailers, everyone else, that it really went nowhere. They were able to get a little, but nowhere near where they needed to be. And I do think Hank has a great point. I mean, look at Alabama, which is a neighboring state. I mean, their sales tax exemption for manufacturers is one of the reasons why they're still doing solidly, to be mm-hmm. candid with you. The question is, you know, look, there's so many, you know, when you're in those 2 months a year when the legislators converge on Tallahassee, the lobbyists are basically – it's like trying to recover a missed free throw in basketball. Everyone's blocking each other out. You know, it's like rugby. There are no rules. Everyone's trying to cut each other out.
So maybe the answer is getting, you know, starting at a local level, getting folks involved and voters engaged on an issue like that, and really talking to their representatives and saying that it's important.
Yeah, and you got to bring that. Remember, look, this is the second largest state this side of the Atlantic, the Mississippi. There are 67 counties, 120 state reps, 40 state senators. You know, what happens in Jacksonville often doesn't impact what happens in Pensacola, what happens in Miami. Because of it, you've got to be able to network across the state for that.
904-222-8255. Let's go to Blake, who's calling into the program. Blake, welcome to the Ed Dean Show.
Good morning, Alexander. Two comments. First of all, with regards to tariff, we need to make a decision if we're going to look at economics or strategic issues. You know, we won World War II because we had huge production capacity, huge resources to bring to bear. It took 30 months for us to come back to Europe in D-Day after Pearl Harbor. if we have shipped all of our steel making, which we've done, capacity overseas, we don't have the ability to make product items to defend ourselves. So I think we have to take a look at the fact that these tariffs are going to rebuild a strategic industry in our country so that we are stronger as a country, not only from the standpoint of economics, but also from the standpoint of military and defending ourselves.
I agree. It's certainly something we've got to take a hard look at here. What is your take, though, on the public spat between Justin Trudeau and the president?
Justin Trudeau is a nutcase. End of story. Okay. He's a nutcase in so many different ways with regards to his country that he has no business being the prime minister. He's there because of his father. It's kind of like what's going on up in New York with Cuomo and his father before that. No. So he's taking his country down a sewer pipe, and the sooner they get rid of him, the better.
Well, Blake, I appreciate the call and the comment. The number here, 904-222-8255, 904-222-TALK. Let's go to Lindsay, who's calling in about the Congresswoman's appeal. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning. I was listening on some of the reports about this letter supposedly that the attorney has made, and while the argument is brilliant and that the Supreme Court says...
Is it brilliant?
It is, but ultimately I think it's going to fail because of the facts related to her case, where the juror was dismissed because he felt that God was telling him that she was innocent.
Right.
And he has the freedom to have that belief and to exercise that faith. However, when your religious freedom conflicts with your civic duty, which in serving in a jury is to follow the law and the facts as you determine them, and when, as I understand it, he said he could not do that, but instead felt compelled to follow his religious belief, then he was dismissed. Rather than make him violate his religious belief, the judge dismissed him from serving as a juror.
Right, but I mean, when you look at this, to me this looks like, the longer the appeal happens, the more attention she gets, the longer she can keep that pension, and everyone's kind of groovy. This reeks of grasping at straws.
Well, it is. However, the brilliance of it is that the Supreme Court did say that you have to give due consideration to religious freedoms. And in the case of the Baker, when you look back at the Human Rights Commission that went after him, they were openly hostile and clearly diminished his First Amendment right of freedom of religion during that whole prosecution against the Baker, and that's what the Supreme Court said was wrong. I can understand and I appreciate the subtlety of the argument that her attorney has made. However, I don't believe it is going to ultimately be successful precisely because there was no hostility. There was, in fact, due consideration of his religious beliefs, of his religious liberty, and because he could not, in good conscience, fulfill his civic duty as a juror, the judge removed him from that, thereby removing the conflict between the law and his religious liberty, and allowed him to not have to violate his faith or be put in a position to have to violate his faith.
I think Lindsay's absolutely over the target here, and I think looking at some of those decisions, namely from Justice Kennedy, I think that's exactly what's going to come down to. They said, look, this case, don't look to extend this case, this precedent, beyond what we have now. And I think it's one of the reasons why you were able to get Kennedy, who has been, to be very candid, you know, looking at the advancement of same-sex marriage in this country, you're looking at Kennedy. He's the guy on the Casey decision. He's the guy who was the swing vote on the same-sex marriage decision.
Right.
That's where Kennedy is. And getting two of the left-leaning justices there, Breyer, for example, I think that's absolutely correct because it was a limited case. And I do agree with Lindsay that Corinne Brown's team they might make that argument, but they're not going to get anywhere with it.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. We're talking now about Corinne Brown and her appeal. Her lawyers filed saying that the recent Supreme Court decision about the Christian Bake Baker in Colorado somehow has anything to do with this case. Let's go to Keith, who's talking about the Congresswoman's appeal. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think y'all are spot on. It's clutching straws. But the way I see it is just a little bit different than that other caller. This juror made up his mind prior to hearing all the evidence, prior to, you know, all the case being given to the jury. He had to go. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but if your mind's made up prior to hearing all the evidence, then you're not an unbiased juror. So he had to go. And this fact of Corrine trying to use this Baker's case, it's like you guys said, it's clutching straws, man.
Now, I agree. I mean, I don't see how this gains any traction. But Keith, I think in addition to clutching straws, I think the thing that I'm trying to talk about here that I'm not sure the media's picked up on is the longer this appeal lasts, the more she can collect her pension. Like, if you've got the money, honey, I've got the time. You know, it all goes back to the money here,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Here's the other thing. Remember Brown's quick argument last year? Well, I'm the legislative branch, even though she was out of Congress. And the judiciary, that's the judiciary. That's you're like, really?
Well, yeah,
and that's
before
the thing.
That,
she's trying to raise money to pay her legal bills from her supporters. Maybe that's what this is about.
Well, then I totally understand what the lawyers are doing. And if she can get it. But, yeah, the appeal's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Keith, I appreciate the call. The number here, 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Kevin, you mentioned earlier, if our listeners didn't hear it, that another local congressman is trying to push against some of this pension hanky-panky going on with some of our congressmen who have been, unfortunately, gosh, you can think of quite a few in the last 5 or 10 years that have been indicted or have had some issues with corruption.
Yeah, North Florida Republican Ted Yoho, who represents Clay County all the way down in Gainesville, he actually has had a proposal to do just that, and I hope it goes somewhere. I don't think it's going to, but...
We'll take more of your calls coming up after this, 904-222-8255. We have an open line. Call in.
295 going south at Bay Meadows Road. There's been a crash involving several cars. It's on the right, causing backup. And 295 south at San Jose Boulevard, there's another wreck where we're counting at least three cars there.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Jennifer Candelino for Snyder Air Conditioning. Should you repair or replace your air conditioning system? It's a question that our customers ask us every day. So Snyderman has put together a short quiz to help you make your own decision. Just log on to SnyderAC.com, take the short quiz, and decide for yourself. Repair or replace? Your answer will become very clear. And our repair or replace quiz is easy. Simply log on to SnyderAC.com and answer the 5 short questions. There's a reason that Snyder Air Conditioning has been Jacksonville's leading air conditioning company for over 40 years, with the highest quality products and only honest and reliable workmanship. Every Snyder technician has been certified and professionally trained and committed to 100% customer satisfaction. At Snyder, they know you expect your comfort needs to be fixed right the first time. So log on to SnyderAC.com today and take the short quiz. Repair or replace? Call Snyderman today at 641-0600. License number CAC 1813307.
Attention all business owners. Are you happy with your website? Is your website easily found on the internet? How about your social media? Does your company have a professional and engaging social media presence? If your answer is no, then contact Smarty Digital today for help with your website, digital marketing, or social media campaign. Call or click today for a free digital marketing audit. It will be the smartest decision you will ever make. Call Smarty Digital at 904-674-3370. That's 904-674-3370. Or click SmartyDigital.com.
And we're bracing ourselves for lots of rain with thunderstorms by afternoon. A high of 88, more rain tonight. Overnight, the low 71. Right now, it's 72 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Former Congresswoman Corrine Brown's lawyer is encouraged by the recent Supreme Court ruling, siding with a Christian wedding cake baker. The letter to the appeals court says her lawyer's ruling applies to the Brown corruption case because of the way it addressed religious freedom. Democratic candidate for Florida Governor Gwen Graham's campaign is running TV ads for the first time this election, accusing Republicans of having all the wrong priorities. and lawyers for the NFL quarterback at the center of the national anthem controversy, Colin Kaepernick, may subpoena President Trump and Vice President Pence. They want to find out what was said to NFL owners about Kaepernick, who hasn't been able to find a job in football in 2 years.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Welcome back to the program, 904-222-8255. You can also email Ed anytime at ed@wbob.com. And don't forget to download the app so you can hear Ed all the time, anytime you want. You'll never be away from it if you download the WBOB app in your App Store or Google Play or whatever people use to do that. So we've talked a lot. We've gone all over the map here throughout the program. But something the theme seems to be races flying under the radar. And believe it or not, there's a what should be a fairly high-profile congressional race just to our south and a part of our listening area to replace Ron DeSantis, who, of course, is running for governor, the race to replace him. There's a Democrat in the race that's raised a good amount of money, a former Clinton administration person named Nancy Soderbergh, who, when I was going to UNF, I never took her class, but I heard stories. And I don't know how that would have worked with a conservative Republican being in her class who was fairly outspoken. But yeah. And then you've got on the Republican side three candidates, three I think the main contenders, all kind of vying for position right now. What's your take on that race?
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not crown Nancy Soderbergh yet. I think she's a favorite for the Democratic nomination, but Dr. Stephen Savigny is in that race. He has hundreds of thousands of dollars he's raised himself. You know, I think Soderbergh's going to win. You know, certainly the National Democrats love Soderbergh, but I don't think he has a puncher's chance.
See, they've been pouring a lot of money into that race to push her, and assuming she is the nominee, I just look at those numbers. I mean, you've got St. John's, Flagler, Volusia County. These are
– Well, Volusia County can go – remember, Daytona Beach can often go blue. And when we look at St. John's
– as much to offset Southern St. John's and
gonna
Flagler?
That's going
to
be the question. Remember, the north part of St. John's is not in that.
Right.
That's where the more populous area. And I think that's going to be the fascinating question is can they flip it? I think it's going to be a very, very tough reach for them. But on the same time, the NRCC is going to have to throw money in a district where, frankly, Republicans should win in a blowout.
Oh, that should be easy.
And you'd think so, but they're going to have to throw money in there. So we'll see what happens. Look, John Ward – you know, I think he started off strong. His comments about Puerto Ricans.
Now, for our listeners that don't know, what is that about Puerto Ricans?
Well, John Ward came out about a month ago or so now and said, look, I don't think he said Puerto Ricans shouldn't be able to vote. There's too many of them in Florida. Well, you know, if you want to argue.
They are American citizens.
They've been American citizens since 1917.
Yeah,
you know, if you want to argue the policies of Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt, and William McKinley, we can do that all day.
And Kevin would be the perfect guy to do it, actually.
Exactly. You know, so Mike Waltz, you know, a former Dick Cheney aide, but he's also an anti-Trumper. You know, he's a pundit on Fox News. He was an anti-Trumper in 2016. Absolutely.
Oh.
He's changed his tune, but that's where he was. He is in that race. Fred Costello, a former state rep, he came in second place in 2012 against DeSantis. He came in second place in 2016. He's also in that mix. He has the Flagler County area, Ormond Beach area. That seems to be his base.
He was like a mayor of Ormond Beach.
He was at one point, yeah. And look, I'll be very candid. Fred Costello should have done in 2016, he should have said, you know what, Ron DeSantis, you know, he was running for the congressional seat. DeSantis was running for Senate. When Marco Rubio decided to run for a second term, DeSantis decided, I'm running for Congress. Costello should have gotten out of that race. Said, you know what, I don't want to take on an incumbent. You're right. You know,
everyone else in that race did, with the exception of
Costello. And I think there was a businessman who kept his bid. And DeSantis smoked them both. Now Costello, he's a two-time loser. You know, can he raise money? So it's an interesting dynamic. Neither Waltz or Ward has ever won anything before. Costello has no money, but he has a base. It's a fascinating primary. It's one to watch, to be sure.
It's going to be interesting. And then no matter who the Republican nominee is, as we said, they do face a bigger challenge than you'd think in a seat like that in November.
Absolutely.
Now, another congressional race that is I think, getting a little bit more attention, at least here in Duval County, our former mayor, Alvin Brown, running against incumbent Congressman Al Lawson for the district seat that stretches all the way from Leon County in Tallahassee to Duval County here in Jacksonville, east-west. It's huge. It is a primarily Democrat seat.
Yeah.
Republicans
have
been trying to field candidates in that seat forever, and it's never seemed to have worked out. So the odds are that whoever wins this primary is likely to be that congressman.
Absolutely.
Alvin Brown – you know, was before losing re-election, polls would tell you a fairly popular mayor. And then Lenny Curry rolled in with a brilliant message that talking about crime and all these issues. What's the makeup of that race? Because that's going to be is it purely turnout between Jacksonville and Tallahassee?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, Kevin and Alexander, one of the things I found very interesting is that recently the Jacksonville FOP endorsed Lawson.
Yeah, but I think that has more to do with Alvin Brown's term as mayor and some of the pension stuff that went on and that than it has to do with congressional race. I Steve Zone is a friend, and they're good folks over there. The FOP.
It surprised me because that was his own hometown, a major influential group, by the way.
And Al Lawson,
supporting the guy from Tallahassee.
Al Lawson's bread and butter since the start of his career has always been public safety unions.
That's
home stretch for him.
Yeah. So, look, Alvin Brown has to win basically 70-75% of the vote in Duval County. That is a big – now, can he – you know, this is Lawson's weak area, but Lawson is certainly fighting for those votes. It's going to be tough. Here's the problem Alvin Brown has. Nobody west of – I will always say the McClenny Starbucks at exit 336 and I-10 – nobody west of that has any idea who Alvin Brown is. Now, he's trying to hit Lawson. Well, you know, he's in bed with the NRA. Well, he's in bed with Trump. He tweeted Trump out. That's what Brown's trying to try everything they can to kind of paint Lawson as too conservative for the Democratic primary. Will it work? We'll see. I do think Lawson's going to have – he's going to do well in Gadsden. He's going to do well in Jefferson. He's going to do well in Leon County, the western part of the district. And that, I think, should shore him up enough. I think he is the favorite. But Brown does have a puncher's chance. He's got to get his message, though, west of that I-10 Starbucks in McClenny.
Well, shout out to the Starbucks in McClenny. This is the most publicity they've ever gotten.
It's a great Starbucks, and I'll be there when I go home to Tallahassee later this afternoon.
The number here, 904-222-8255, 904-222-TALK. Let's go to Mike, who's on the line. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Glad to hear you on the show this morning. I'm originally from Northern California, and the state of California, my home state, has got brown rot. Unfortunately, Jacksonville's got brown rot, too.
Well, I don't think Pat or Jerry or Kathleen has quite had the problems that,
you understand what I'm saying. I mean, they have totally destroyed California, and I've been in the South for a long time.
Sure.
And to see what's going on with all the Browns across the board. I mean, do we really need to take another chance? Alvin, I wasn't impressed with Alvin while he was mayor. I mean, not saying anything bad about the guy. I think he's a good guy and everything else. But I think we've had enough Browns.
Well, you know that they're not related, right?
Like I know that. I'm being smart.
Yeah, I know you are, Mike.
Just coincidence of the last name. That's the only thing they've got in common.
What can Brown do for you? Evidently, fraud.
In a hospital, we can call that a code Brown.
Okay.
A little early for that.
On that note, we've got to go to break. 904-222-8255. Call in. We now have an open line, and the bar is set low, so have at it.
295 going south at Bay Meadows Road. There's a crash. Several cars involved. Disabled car 295 south on the ramp to Purchase, causing slowdown on the west side.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
Have you been following Bill Clinton's book tour that's turned out to be quite something else? Craig Melvin of NBC News asked the former president about Monica Lewinsky and whether he ever apologized directly to her for what he did when he was president and she was an intern. Clinton said he apologized to the world, but not personally to her. And then he claimed, while governor of Arkansas, he had a sexual harassment policy in place. Trouble is, that was a federal policy that had nothing to do with him, and examples of his sexual harassment of women are legion. As everyone knows, Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey, Juanita Broderick. Broderick tweeted out after the interview, "What about his raping me?" Clinton claimed he left the White House $16 million in debt. Not true, says the Washington Post fact-checker Glenn Kessler. It was a much smaller amount, but he and Hillary made up for it quickly by selling two books few have read and the cash cow the Clinton Foundation became. Bill Clinton has been a fraud and a lout, especially when it comes to women. Good for Craig Melvin for finally holding him accountable. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
So here's a great question. How much would you save if you joined MediShare for your healthcare program? The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You might save more. Tammy left a major company and needed a new way ahead for her family. She'd heard about the savings with MediShare, but was wondering about the network of providers.
Once we started the program, I have not had to switch one doctor for myself or for my kids. So all the doctors that we were previously with were all in MediShare.
And she says the process has been fantastic.
I got off the phone and I was like, that's what it should be like. It was a pleasurable experience. An encouraging experience at that.
MediShare might be just the thing you're looking for your family, your budget. Use the savings for other things. Why not get your questions answered? Find out how much you can save. You can call right now. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Lots of rain this afternoon and a high of 88 degrees. Right now it's 75 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Alexander Pantanakis, Kevin Derby, and Roger Henderson filling in for Ed this morning. Quickly, let's go to Dan, who's on the line. Dan, you're talking Corinne Brown. You got about a minute. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I just, about the Corinne Brown thing, I agree. It has really nothing to do with the case where the baker didn't have to bake the case. That's a completely different thing. But what I'm thinking, I don't know. I think that the lawyer, and I'm not a lawyer, is thinking if they get it before the right court or the right judge, they might get somebody who's sort of, you know, there's like that district court in California, someone who's going to say, okay, well, I don't want to be called a racist, or I don't want to be...
Well, Dan, I agree with you. I think Corinne Brown has a better chance of going after the baker, the maker, the candlestick maker than she has of winning this appeal. Thanks so much. Laura Ingram's coming up.